Chapter 4, Section 4, Death.
And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Genesis 2, 16 and 17.
Sometimes we are vague when we issue warnings. But God's warning was specific. Adam could hardly have missed what God was saying. The Bible speaks of death as being a type of payment for sin. Just as a person is paid wages for working, so one is paid a wage for sin.
The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23a.
The Bible speaks about death in a number of different ways. We will look at three. First of all, death of the body. Physical death is not hard for us to grasp. We are only too well acquainted with it. But we need to understand something more. When you cut a leafy branch off a tree, the leaves don't instantly wither and look dead. In the same way, when God told Adam, "For when you eat of it, you will surely die," God did not mean that Adam would drop dead as soon as he ate the fruit. Rather, God meant that Adam would be cut off from his source of life. And then, just like a branch, his body would eventually wear out and stop functioning physically. The body would
die and return to the dust. Psalm 104:29b.
Though the body dies, the spirit goes on living. The Bible says the spirit is immortal. The second aspect of death that the Bible speaks about is the death to a relationship. We have already seen that Adam and Eve had a close friendship with God. Their disobedience ended that special tie. It's like when Addie believed the lie perpetuated by Slick. The relationship she had with Theo could never be the same again. It was over. Dead. But it goes several steps further. When Addie had children, Theo would not be their father. They would not be related to Theo in any way. They wouldn't even know who he was. It was the same way with Adam and Eve. Their children and their children's children, indeed, all mankind to this day, have been born into this world having no relationship with God. Many don't even know him. The Bible looks at this death as being so profound, so complete, that even though we live physically, God views all mankind as being
dead in your transgressions and sins. Ephesians 2:1.
The scripture speaks of this disillusion as being the result of sin.
But your iniquities, sins, have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. Isaiah 59:2.
Sometimes I've heard folk say that God seems so far away. Well, they are just repeating what the Bible says. We are separated from God. The scripture says that man became an alien, a stranger.
You were alienated from God and were enemies. Colossians 1:21.
Theo is not seeing Addie anymore. Their engagement has been broken, and Addie has married Slick. She has become a stranger to Theo. But God is more than an offended fiancé, such as Theo, who wants to keep his distance because he has been hurt. No, that's not it at all. Rather, because God is perfect, holy, and right or righteous, his holiness demands that sinful man be kept at a distance. We are so immersed in our society that, to one degree or another, we become calloused to sinfulness. But think of a gross injustice toward an innocent person. The anger you feel in such a situation is perhaps the very way God feels towards all sin. We label sin as fun, sadistic, unjust, etc. And the Bible does recognize certain differences when it comes to consequences. But when it pertains to God's holy character, he is offended by all sin. It is horrible. It is filthy to him. Indeed, God is angry against all sin. He will have no part in it. I have spent a significant portion of my life either traveling or living in tropical countries. For a time, my wife and I lived in a house set on low stilts. On one occasion, into this narrow space, a very large rat chose to crawl and die. Unfortunately, the vermin expired right under our little bedroom. Since we could not get to the corpse, we had no option but to let the body decay into oblivion. The carcass, rotting in the hot, humid climate, sent a stupefying odor into our bedroom, giving new meaning to the word foul. We found it impossible to sleep and had to retreat to another part of the house. I don't have a squeamish stomach, but I found the odor actually made me gag. The Bible uses some graphic word pictures to describe how the Lord views sin. One vivid illustration presents God as figuratively vomiting. It is like a freshly bathed infant being placed in a clean bed with a dead, putrefying rat. They don't mix. Even the thought is repulsive. If a holy, spiritually clean God was to allow sinful, spiritually corrupt man to reestablish the relationship of friendship, then he would cease to be holy. For holiness demands the absence of sin. It cannot be a mixed relationship. God will not corrupt his holiness with man's dead rat of sin. So when the Bible speaks of man's relationship with God as being dead, it speaks with intensity. It's truly over. It's dead. A third aspect of death that the Bible speaks of is the death to all future joy. When Addie and Theo became engaged, they were looking forward with delight and anticipation to all the future joys of marriage. They were browsing house designs, discussing where to live, and what they would do together. But when their relationship ended, all their prospective plans died too. The Bible tells us that God is preparing a wonderful home for man after death. It's called heaven. Heaven is an incredible place, designed by God for man's future joy. Eternal life is part of the plan. Just being free of sin, suffering, and death will be wonderful. But just as there is eternal life, so there is eternal death. When the Bible uses the word death, by implication, it sometimes refers to the death of God's original plan for mankind. This death is also called the second death, probably because it occurs after physical death. This second death is reserved for those people who will not be in heaven. Instead, the Bible says they will go to the lake of fire, an appalling place that God created specifically for punishing Satan and his demons.
Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 11a, 12, 14b, and 15.
The Bible speaks of being thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur and of being tormented day and night forever and ever. It will be a place of sorrow, devoid of happiness. The scriptures talk of worms, literally maggots, of an intense darkness, of people weeping and gnashing their teeth in extreme anguish, of being parched with thirst, and of remembering this life and of wishing for no one to join them. It's a place of lonely suffering, not some buddy-buddy celebration of debauchery.
But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, witchcraft, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Revelation 21:8.
Later, we will learn more about man's destiny. One last thing. Sin and death now reigned in Adam's bloodline. passed on through the generations by the father. Like begets like. Apples reproduce apples, cats reproduce cats. Sinful man reproduces sinful man.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Romans 5:12.
Because of Adam's sin, all his offspring would have his sin nature, and because he died, all his offspring would die. If all this talk of death seems morbid, it should be a reminder to us that God doesn't make unpleasant subjects pretty. He tells it like it is. One author wrote,
God is a God of love and truth together. God could not condone Adam and Eve's sin. He could not say, oh, forget it, or you couldn't help it, we'll pretend it never happened, or it was just one little sin. No, the damage was done. Adam and Eve were guilty. One sin brought judgment. One sin brought fear and shame. One sin brought more sin.
And of course, one sin brought death. Death is one thing all humans have in common, and we need to know what the Bible says about it. To be told the truth is what one would expect from a perfect God. Let us review for a moment. The Bible speaks about death in three different ways. Death of the body, death to a relationship, death to a future joy. The friendship between two individuals is like a bridge. It is maintained by keeping things right in the relationship between each other. That relational bridge can be broken by wronging the friend. In this case, man rebelled against the way God created him. That disobedience, the Bible calls sin. After Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to restore the broken relationship, tried to mend the bridge by putting on fig leaves. This attempt to fix up their outward appearance was an effort to please God and cover their sin. It didn't work. As we continue our story, we will see that it is in the nature of man to devise ways to reach God. None of them work. And to complete our review, here is an interesting side note from two studies done by geneticists.
It makes us realize that all human beings, despite differences in external appearances, are really members of a single entity that's had a very recent origin in one place. There is a kind of biological brotherhood that's much more profound than we ever realized.
So said Stephen Jay Gould, the Harvard paleontologist and essayist, in a Newsweek 1988 cover article entitled The Search for Adam and Eve. According to the article, scientists
trained in molecular biology looked at an international assortment of genes and picked up a trail of DNA that led them to a single woman, from whom we all descended. There weren't even telltale distinctions between races.
The Bible says,
Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. Genesis 3:20.
Then in 1995, Time had a brief article saying there was scientific evidence that
there was an ancestral Adam whose genetic material on the chromosome is common to every man now on earth.
The Bible says,
from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. Acts 17:26a.
These studies of human DNA conclude that we all came from the same man and woman. Some scientists agree, others disagree. But the Bible says that's the way it was.